Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you can. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to check out our blog, which is on the homepage, or you can go directly to it by going to jimsblog.biz. You can check out our archives and our articles. We've got dozens of archives up on our site from past interviews that we've had with our good friend Mary Key, who's with us right now. Mary is the author of What Animals Teach Us. She's also the author of The Entrepreneurial Cat, and she's got a brand new book out. She's one of our expert, or I should say will be out later in the year, and I think we're going to talk about that a little bit today. She is one of our top experts on leadership. Mary Key, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be on the show again, Jim. How are you today?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, as always. Now, you've been doing some work on leadership, haven't you? You've been doing some research, haven't you?
Yes. My co-author and I, Dennis Stearns, we've been talking to CEOs around the country, and we have in our new book, CEO Road Rules, Right Focus, Right People, Right Execution, some of their secrets on how they've not only created success but significance in their lives.
Right. Well, now these are all small businesses, right? I mean, these are not publicly traded companies, right?
That's correct. They're primarily privately held businesses, and many of them are mid-sized, and a couple are small. Several are larger, and I think the commonality really is that they're not publicly traded. And one of the things that we found, and I think you'll see that borne out by Fortune magazine, for example, with their top 100 places to work list, is that it's easier to create significance when the company is privately held. And the reason
why did you decide that?
Well, I decided that because it's really up to the CEO in many ways. They have more ability to focus on longer-term things. One of the things we write about and one of the tools we provide in our book is a significance plan. And in that significance plan, we talk about using right focus, right people, and right execution principles, not only in your business, which makes a lot of people successful, but in other aspects of your life, which makes your life significant. And a quick example of that, you know, we have a story of a CEO, a true story, about how their whole life got out of balance and everything was driven toward the organization. There wasn't time for anything else. So family, personal relationships were really backburnered for a long time. And what happened when this person, a classical example, really had the material things that they needed, they found themselves really lacking and hurting in their on their personal side because they had no meaning in their life. It was all about how can we go to the next step, and when you've already reached that next step, what's next?
Well, one of the things that you and I have seen in small businesses in the times that we've studied over the years that we've studied them is the values, the vision, the attitude of the founder percolates all the way down to the last person in the organizational chart.
Absolutely.
And the bigger the company gets, and the more their goals change. When I say their goals, I mean, you know, they talk about they go public or they acquire another company or whatever. The more those kinds of growth things happen, those values, that vision, it's not that it's any less strong in the founder, but it gets diluted by a lot of other things, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and I really believe that the one of the key takeaways for any of the listeners of the Small Business Advocate, because many of them are small business owners and entrepreneurs, is that when your company gets to a certain size, and most people aspire to making that certain size, whatever it is, as you're pointing out, unless they have right focus with the mission, vision, values, and built into the culture ways to preserve that, the owner can no longer use their presence to to communicate it. And unless you find other vehicles, your organization is off the path of right focus.
Have you ever seen a publicly traded company that still behaved like it was a smaller privately held company?
Yes.
I have two, and it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Walgreens is one that comes to mind. Who are you thinking about?
Well, I've seen several other companies. The Administaff is a good example of that, which in the interest of full disclosure is one of our sponsors, but I've just noticed that about them, and it's very evident in that organization. I was thinking of another company, AMD, Advanced Micro Devices, when the founder of that company was still the chairman and was still, you know, running that company. That company was a lot like that.
Well, one of the people I had the privilege of talking with is Dan Jornt, the former CEO and chairman of Walgreens. They are not part of the book, although Dan was kind to endorse the book. He really liked it. And we were talking about how has Walgreens been able to keep doing it. And this idea of right focus and not taking your eye off what your core business is really key, but also making sure that as part of right focus, your attention is on a winning strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And so an example for Walgreens is when they sold all their restaurants, and of course that was a big part of their culture. In fact, one of the restaurants was named Corky's after Cork Walgreen, you know, a person who was just a wonderful leader in that organization in the 1900s. And so what they did is they said, we are going to be about convenience. And instead of looking at revenue per store, we're going to look at revenue per customer visit. So their strategy could dictated by how can we keep that customer in the store. Their innovations were amazing. You see, this is important.
And see, that's something, Mary, and I want to talk about that a little bit in a maybe right after the next break. That's something that I've noticed. I've been noticing more and more is that the bigger the company gets, and the more they, especially when they become publicly held, the harder it is these days, it seems, to focus on the customer. There's too much focus, in my opinion, on the competition and on what the stock analysts say rather than on what the customers want.
Well, and it's showing short-term growth.
There's no question about it. Stand by, Mary. We're going to take a quick break. Mary Key is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She is the author of What Animals Teach Us. That's the last book. The next one is called CEO Road Rules. 20 after. When we come back, we have something to celebrate. Stay with us.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to this show very much, you know that we have Brain Trust members who join us on the show, and hundreds of them come back, believe it or not. And we're so happy that they do. And they join us over and over again. And Mary Key is an excellent example of that. Dr. Mary Key is, Mary, this is our 8th anniversary. This show is. How about that?
Wow.
Me and you. You were on this show the first time 8 years ago.
I remember when you were first starting.
You said it'll never last.
Yeah, I never led here. You know, some of the best marriages happen, you know, when you never think it's going to happen after.
That's right. But I appreciate all the great years that you've given us over the last 8 years, and we're looking forward to 8 more.
Well, Jim, you make being part of your whole Brain Trust just an attractive place to be. So thank you for all you do.
Well, I appreciate that. Dr. Mary Key, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the upcoming book, CEO Road Rules, she and her co-author, tell me his name again.
His name is Dennis Stern.
Dennis Stern. They worked really hard on this to get some good information out. And when's that going to be available? In October, is that right?
October, David.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that. And I guess you're kind of launching it on this show then, and we expect you to come back and officially launch it when it releases in October, Mary.
Absolutely. But if people want a sneak preview, they just need to go to MaryKeyAssociates.com, and right on the homepage, there's the cover of the book, CEO Road Rules, Right Focus, Right People, Right Execution. And if you click on there, there's a sample first chapter. The first chapter is a story about an entrepreneur named Joe and how everything has gone wrong in his life. And it's a fun read. And then the rest of the book is nonfiction, and it's based on our interviews with over 50 CEOs of primarily privately held companies.
Well, check that out, folks. You can see the graphic of the triangle and the circle there, and right there beside the book title. So check it out when you get a chance. Mary, back to some of the things you learned in when you were doing this book, when you're doing the research for this book. We were talking about how when companies go public, it seems to me that I actually said this to one of our stock experts yesterday, that if William Shakespeare today were alive, he would say, first thing we do, kill all the lawyers. Second thing we do, kill all the stock analysts. And everybody that I know who's in that business agree with me about that, because it seems to me that companies wind up chasing, the tail is wagging the dog, and the tail that's wagging the dog are the stock analysts, and the tail that wags the dog ought to be customers.
Absolutely. I think you can make more money in many ways by focusing on potential investors, and there's so many people now in the investment game that the stock analysts, I think, have an inflated view of themselves.
I don't think there's any question about that.
But I think for the person who has a privately held company and has no desire to become public, the key learning from all of that is you can't be short-term. The reason that so many big companies don't do well, and why many of them are a terrible place to work, because people can't create meaning in their lives. They're running around like little hamsters, always trying to show short-term results. And sometimes it's like a great workout program, a great diet. You can't see the results right away. But if you change those habits in your life, over time, the benefits are tremendous. And I think that is an important advantage that privately held companies have.
What was the right execution that you saw in your companies, the common denominator in the right execution part?
Organizations that have the right execution, first and foremost, have clarity on the directions and how people are going to get there, and they have trained their managers and leaders to be able to communicate performance expectations clearly to the people that work there. So if I work for XYZ company, I'm very clear on how what I do contributes to the overall success of my company so that it's more meaningful for me. Secondly, I have an accountability system in place where people are rewarded and recognized for meeting the specific goals and direction, and it's recognized in a negative way when people do not make those goals. And the big flaw I see for a lot of small to mid-sized companies is the only thing that they're measuring, and this is an entrepreneur's Achilles heel, are the financials. And sometimes they'll look at customer. And what they're not looking at is all the other aspects of the organization, not only what people need to be doing, but how they go about doing it. And if you can give people the feedback on the what and the how and hold them accountable, you breed high performance. And that's the biggest aha regarding right execution, Jim.
Did you find some of your people were literally holding down the growth of the company because they were afraid that they would lose some of the feelings that they had about their company, some of the control?
Absolutely. I think a lot of people start companies because they are control freaks and they want control. And that's the hardest thing when your company gets to a certain size. So,
and I didn't mean that was a bad thing at all.
No,
some people might. I know, but some people might think that that's what we're saying, but just that they realize that they like the way the company is, and they know if they get too much bigger,
right,
that they'll lose some of that, and who knows where it could wind up. Mary, we got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely.
Mary Key, Dr. Mary Key, the author of CEO Road Rules, the co-author, and happy anniversary, Mary. Thanks for 8 great years.
Thank you.
See you later. Quick break, right back with our good friend Sam Norwood. We're going to see what small business owners are saying about the economy out there right after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.